Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. I'm a Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Lo lo amal yavi adam atzmo lidei nisayon, shrei David Melch Yisrael yavi atzmo lidei nisayon v'nichshal. A person should never ask for to be placed in the position of being tested, or whatever the idea of nisayon happens to be machlokas, Ramban, Rambam, and the Rashbam. But what is the exact nature of a nisayon? Whatever that nature is, the David Melch Yisrael put himself in that position and got into a lot of trouble. So nobody should try this at home. Nobody should do this by themselves. Amar lefanav, Ribono Shalom, Mipnei Ma Omrim, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Vein Omrim, Elokei David. How do I get my name on the list? So he says, Amar, Inhu Minsu Li, Bat Lo Minsu Li. They were tested, and you weren't. So Amar lefanav, Ribono Shalom, Bichaneini, Binaseini. Go ahead, you know, let's check me out, test me. Shnemar b'chaneni Hashem v'naseini. So that's the pasuk in Tehillim. Go ahead, Hashem, clear, you know, see, investigate me, see, give me a test. Samar mincelecha. Ravidna milso badach teledulo oditanu. Vilu ana kamodar lecha demincina lecha b'dover erva. So he says, first of all, okay, I'm going to go ahead and test you, but I'm going to give you an advantage. I'm going to give you a little bit of an advantage. What's that? I didn't tell them I was testing them. You, number one, I'm going to tell you that I'm testing you, and I'm telling you I'm testing you with Dvar Erva. So not only am I going to test you, I'm telling you how I'm testing you. So Miyad, that's the next pasuk. So the Gemara here is coming to explain the, obviously, the sugya of Batsheva. Vayachob David ma'al mishkavo. So in the middle of the night, David got up from his bed. Amri Buda, shapach mishkavo shalayla mishkavo shal yom. V'nit'amu menu alocha. So David HaMelech changed the times that he was having relations with his wife, or when he was having relations in general, that to the daytime instead of night, because he thought that that would be more pleasurable or bring him more hana. But he forgot the halacha, which is Eiver Katan Yesh Ba'adam, there's a small member in a person that must be O Ra'ev. If you keep satisfying it, if you keep giving into its desire, rave, then it's more hungry. It wants more. Marivo, if you starve it, savat, then it'll be satisfied. So the fact is that he gave into his yetzer, and he'd be giving into his yetzer, that caused him to have even more desire.
So it was
an attempt to protect him from the test, supposedly. Right? He was trying to preempt the test by satisfying himself through his wives. But he forgot the halacha, which is that he actually aroused his temptation more by doing this rather than subverting the temptation. So he walked on the roof of the palace. Sees a woman washing. So Batsheva, she was a beautiful woman. So Batsheva was up there shampooing or washing her hair. Tutei chalta. She was under a canopy of some sort, under some sort of covering. Ata satan idmi lekitziparta. So the satan came and appeared like a bird to David HaMelech. So patach be'gira. So David shot an arrow at it. Patka lechalta. So instead of hitting the bird, it hits the canopy. And igle v'chazio. And because of that, it either shatters the canopy or opens the canopy. Whatever it does, it exposes Batsheva, who was washing her hair. And there, miyad, vayishlach David vaydrosh leisha. He asked, who's this woman? Vayomar lo zot Batsheva bat Eliam, eshet Uriah achiti. So this isn't this Batsheva. And David says, vayishlach David malachim vaykecha. He takes her, vatavoy lav, she came, vayishkav ima. And he slept with her. Vihi mitkadeshet mitumata. Right, she was becoming, as Rashi says, otosha pasak tumata v'lo ba alea kishi nida. She was now, or it seems to be, when she went to the mikveh, and that's why she was combing out her hair, that's why she was getting dressed afterwards. Vateshev el beita, and then she goes back home. Vainu dichtiv, and this is what it says in Tehillim. Bachanti libi, right, so you know, tested my heart or checked out my heart. Pakata laila, teraftani bal timtza, zamoti bal yavar pi. So because I was going to be, you know, my test in my heart, Pakati Laila was checked at night, Tzraftani Bal Timtza. So you tried to purify me, and I was not found, or Bal Timtza was not successful, Zamoti Bal Yavar Pi. Had it just been the fact, I wish you had just, my mouth should not be over, or not violate. So what does that mean? Amar Iku Zamama Nafal Bupume demanded Sani Li, Vomar ki hai milto. It should have been that some sort of reins or a bit were placed in my mouth, right? Velo Amar ki hai milto, and I would never ask for such a test. So that's what it means. Zamoti bal yavor pi. Right, that my Hashem should protect me or ensure that I don't say the wrong thing or I don't make the wrong request. That's David saying about himself, right, that something bad came into the mouth of the one that hates me. He's talking about himself. I wish I never said such a thing. So, meaning that I wish I never asked Hashem to test me in such a manner. Right, so, and that would have stopped this whole thing from happening, but because I asked to be tested, now I'm in a bad position. Darash Rabba, my dichti, where does it say, Lamnatzeach the David Bashem Chasiti, Ech Tomru Lenavshi, Nudi Arachem Tzipor. Amar David, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Macholi Oloto Avon. Forgive me for that sin, Shelo Yomru, Har Shebechem Tzipor Nidato. Right, that the one, the mountain amongst you, meaning the king, was entrapped or ensnared by the work of a bird, which is what happened here. The bird, he shot at the bird, and that's what caused the canopy to break or open, and that's what exposed him to Bathsheba. So he says, don't let this. So that's what he's saying. I went to Hashem to, you know, to go ask him for rachamim, to be in his shadow. So that's why it uses here, don't let them say that it was a tzipor. Have rachmi, I mean, not say that there was a tzipor that caused me to fall. So, Darash Rava, my dichtiv, l'chol avadcha chatati, v'ra b'inecha asiti, l'man titzdak bidvarecha, tiske b'shvatecha. So what is it? Why does it say that to you alone I sinned, and I did bad? L'man titzdak b'dvarecha, so that you should be righteous in your words, tiskev shvatecha, and then you'll be right exonerated or merit in your win your judgments. I mean, David l'fnei Kodesh Baruch Hu galya v'yadia kamachti by the mechve the yitzrei have a kafinan. You know that I could hold back my yitzera. Elamin, I said to lo lemru avdo zachi or kafye the mare. We shouldn't say that the servant outsmarted or was victorious over his master. I mean, that shouldn't be that. It should be said that David beat Hashem. So it's an interesting, right? It's a difficult claim here because David has to be tested, and then he's going to say, "Oh, I gave in to the test because I didn't want to make Hashem look bad." I don't know. This is out of all the memorot. There are a bunch of memorot here. This one seems to me the most out of place. In the sense that here David seems to be willingly giving in to the Yetzer Hara. In other places David seems to have been trapped or he got caught by it, he was being tested. But right, to say that I could have stopped it, right. So I don't know, it's a very, this one line in Rava is much more difficult than the others. So Darash Rava, Mai Dechtiv, Ki Ani Letzela Nachon, Umachavai Negdi Tamid. So what does that mean, Letzela Nachon? Right, the rib that was right for me, my pain is always opposite me. That truthfully, Bathsheba was ra'oi for David to be his wife from Shesh Yimei Breshit, except that he did it in a painful manner. I mean that because he, and we'll see in a second, this is the other, that she was ra'oya, Bathsheba was ra'oya to be the wife of David, except achla paga. Paga is an unripened fruit. He jumped the gun. I mean, he did it too early. So the idea here is that she was ra'uya for him, but he did it in a painful manner because he took an eshadish and it caused him all this difficulty because he didn't wait. He just had to wait it out a little bit. Darash Rav, my dichtiv, ubitzali, samchu, menesfu, nesfu alai nechim, v'lo yadati, koru, v'lo damu. Samar David, lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ibarash shalom, galui, v'yadu lefnei HaKadoshim, ayu korim bisari, lo yadimi shotit. They ripped over my, you know, my skin. My blood wouldn't flow. Meaning that, Baruch Hashem, I'm a tzaddik. I wouldn't be tempted by things. Lo od, elo b'shashim oskim v'arba mitot beitin poskim, and also the possibly the girsa is ba'olot v'negayim v'arba mitot beitin. When they're discussing olot negayim and arba mitot beitin poskim mishnatan, we saw this gemara before. They stop learning and they say to me, David, habal eshadish mitato b'meh. Someone who sleeps with a married woman, what's their punishment? Amarti lehem, haba al eshet ish mitato b'chenek, v'yesh lo chelek l'olam haba. is a death penalty in this world of chenek, but he does get olam haba. But you, who are embarrassing me in public, you have no olam haba. I mean, that's one of the things. You're going to lose olam haba. True, I sinned in this world, but I'll be punished, right? And then I'll get my olam haba. But you who are embarrassing me on the sin that I did and bringing it up all the time, you will not have olam haba. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, afilu b'shat chalyo shel David kiyem shmona esrei onot. That even at the time that David was sick, he kept his 18 onot. Now 18 onot, Rashi claims because 18 onot is for his 18 wives that he performed onah with them, although it's not clear because David had 6 wives. As the Navi says, v'chayena v'chayena, that he could have 18 wives. So I don't know if afterwards he did take 18 wives, but that's Rashi claims here that it's his onot for his 18 wives. Shnemar, yigati banchati, afscha b'chol ayla mitati, b'dimarti arsi amse. So here he's talking about at night, I float, or in my bed on night, mitati, in my bed, bedimati, from my tears. I'm floating for all the tears in my bed. My bed is pressed, or from all the tears that are coming out. So that's right. Explanation is, Rashi explains over here, is that, shebashat dimati, the time that I'm in dimati, my tears meaning pain. I mean, my sickness, nevertheless, mam is admitati bedashmish. My bed is crushed or pressed down with my performance of my tashmish, amita, meaning that I take care of my wives. Even in my sickness, I take care of them. Ram Yehuda Amara, Bikesh David Avod Avodah Zarah. David wanted to worship Avodah Zarah. The Yavimah says not wanted to, but he wanted to pretend to worship Avodah Zarah. Shneimar, why? Because it says, Ve'David ba'ad ha-rosh, asher yishtach v'sham lelukim, that David went to the rosh, the place where they bowed down to the right, God. But in Rosh el Avodah Zarah, Rosh is an Avodah Zarah, Shneimar, because here is by Nebuchadnezzar when he has the dream that he doesn't remember and he wants the Babylonian or the Chaldean sorcerers to come and explain to him the dream. He can't do it, and finally Daniel comes and explains to him what the dream is. Now he forget the interpretation of the dream. He didn't even remember the dream. So Daniel starts to describe to him the dream, that there's this large idol that was opposite you. That he had a large head made out of gold. So you see that? The idea that Rosh, over here, Rosh of gold, means it's referring to an Avodah Zarah. V'nei, likrato chushiar ki, karua, kutenato, v'adma rosho. So over here, obviously, the Gemara is going to take this totally out of context, but this is David's running away from Avshalom. Right, that he's left is during the rebellion of Avshalom, and Hushi Arki takes sides with David. Now, Amarlo David, Yomru Melech Shemotcha Yavodah Vazara. So he asked him, what are you going to do here? You're going to be a king who's going to go worship Avodah Zarah? How could it be? So Amarlo Melech Shemotcha Yargeno Beno. Wait, a king like me, if I'm so righteous, and I did all this right, and then my son comes and rebels and is going to kill me? Better that I pretend to worship Avodah Zarah. I worship Avodah Zarah. And then people will say, that's the reason he got punished, than to say that we don't know why he's getting punished. And therefore there'll be a Chilul Hashem in the fact that he is being chased by his son, thrown out, and being killed by his son. Samar, my time, this is your fault. You married a Yifat Toar. And this is clearly not Pshat in the Psukim that he married a Yifat Toar. Rashi over here tries to explain how we know that he married a Yifat Toar. Because he says, Imo Shel Abshalom was Ma'acha Bat Talmai Melech Kishur. That she was Ma'acha, right, the daughter of Tamar Melech Kishur, which is found in the Navi, that he married Ma'acha. And he has Abshalom and he has Tamar. But over there, she is given to him. It's not done in the context of a battle or a war. So that's why it's not Yifat Toar. So Rashi says, well, V'tafsa David b'milchama. It has to be that David captured her in war. Dein lomar be'aveira ba'alo. Can't be that he took her be'aveira. Because the haktiv, rak b'dvar uriah achiti. The only thing that he is, right, held accountable for, what he's considered to be responsible for, is the Dvar Uriah Chiti, which is only the one sin of Bat Sheva. So that sin of Bat Sheva is the only one that he's held accountable for. But otherwise, David has a clean slate. If he has a clean slate, if he took Ma'acha Bat Tamai, a non-Jewish woman, how does he have a clean slate? So Rashi says it must be that the context in which she was taken was that she was a Yifat Toar. Right here, the Gemara says that the Midrashim also, in many places, say that she was a Yifat Toar. Although from the Pesukim themselves, it's not obvious that she's a Yifat Toar. What's the question? Torah says they can take a Yafat Torah. Why do you mean it? What are you asking? Why did you take your Yafat Torah? So Malaylo Darashta Smuchim. So the Tanchuma has over there that the Lama Nismechu Parshiot Elu. Why are these Parshiot in order? First of all, it says, right, Isha Yafat Torah. Next Parsha is Kili Eliish Tainashim, Achad Uva, Achad Snua. First, it has two wives, one he loves and one he hates. Then, Lo Yakila takes. You shouldn't preference to the son that he comes from the wife that he loves, who is not the Bechor, over the real Bechor who comes from the woman who is the Ben Asniyah. Then it says afterwards, Kiyah the Ben Sorero Moreh. So what is the sequence of Parshiyot according to Tanchuma? If you marry a Fatoar, in the end you're going to hate her. But she's going to have the Bechor. And then because of that, the hatred that comes to him, and you're going to be Docheh, the Bechor, then what's going to happen, he's going to turn into a Ben Sorer Umore. So the Smichot of Parshiyot, he says, you didn't dash the Smichot of Parshiyot. You're true. The Torah says you can have a Fatoar. But the Torah also says that the outcome is not going to be something that is desirable. He said you'll end up with a Ben Sorer Umore. What is David like? Socher kuti, Rashi describes as a, basically probably, if you would call it a retail seller. He takes large quantities and he breaks them down into small quantities and sells them little by little. Because that way it doesn't seem like a big acquisition for any one individual. Right, that if you sell everything for small amounts of money, then people buy them. If you ask them for a large amount of money, for a large quantity, they won't buy it. So here, if you sell it in small pieces. So too, David asked for forgiveness in small pieces. So Amar David lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, Shkiyot mi yavin. Right? Who understands? Who can be take over Shkiyot, which are the mistakes? Shogeg. Amalei Shviki lach. Right? I forgive you. Right? Shvikin. We say this in Yom Kippurim. Right? By the Kol Nidre. Right? This is the term that's used. Shvikin, that they should be forgiven or released. Right, umistarot nakeini, cleanse me of those that are hidden. Hidden here it says, Rashi says, b'mezid, those that I do b'tzina'ah, but they're done b'mezid. Shviki lecha, again, shviki lecha, I forgive you. Gam mizedim chasoch avdecha, it's also from those which are done intentionally, but here it's in public. You should withhold your servant. Shviki lecha, I also forgive you. Probably it's not here, according to Rashi and the Gosa Gra, that's not in the gear. So Al Im Shalubi, they should not, right, rule over me, lord over me. That the Rabbanon should not discuss about me, about the sin and about me. Shvikilach, again, they're forgiven and you're okay. And then, Azeitam Viniketi Pesharav. Now, David asks for the big one. Shaloyichtov Sichuni, that my sin should not be recorded in the Navi. And so he went slowly, piece by piece, he's trying to get forgiven, and he says, oh, don't write about this in the Navi. So he says, I'm low, Yevshar. There, at that point, Hashem said, no go, we can't do that. Why? Right, so he says that the yud that I took away from Sarai, and I made her name Sarah, was floating around for all these years, and it was bothering me, driving me crazy, until I gave it to Yehoshua. Shenemar, v'yikra Moshe l'Yehoshua binun, Yehoshua. So Paul called Parsha, kula, achad kam v'kam. Here's the whole Parsha that's ready to be written. I'm going to just take it out. You know how much trouble that's going to be to find all those letters and put them somewhere else? One letter took me so long. He says, v'niketi mipesherav, amar l'vagad shparachu. So here, probably, with the way to break the thing is that Azeitam is probably the last one, and then Niketim Pesherav, Amar Lefanav Ribono Shel Olam, Acholi Al Tovon, Kulo, says, forgive me for that sin entirely. Amar, Kfar Atit Shlomo Bin Chalomar, Bechachmato. Your son Shlomo is going to say in Mishlei, Hayichte Ish Ish Bechiko, Ubigadav Lo Tisrafno. Can a person go ahead and have fire in his, you know, in his innards or in his chest, and his clothes will not be burnt? Can a person walk on coals and his feet will not be burnt? So too, a person who sleeps with their friend's wife, you can't be clean. You can't touch fire and not be burnt. So you can't be involved in Eshidish, and all of a sudden, if expected all to go away. That's it. This is like just bad news, and I can't do anything. This is so bad. I'm going to be just forever dealing with this. So Abu Gavra, meaning speaking about himself, speaking in third person, but he's speaking about himself. I'm just going to be nitrad me'olam. Either I'm going to lose this world or I'm going to lose the world to come. I can't do anything to get gain forgiveness. So he says, Amalei kabbalah yisurim. Hashem says to him, accept some yisurim, and that will help you to get pardoned for the sin. So kabbalah kibel alav, he accepted the yisurim. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, shishah chodeshin nistarad David, v'nistaral menos shmichina, perchu menos enhedrin. For 6 months, David had Zerat and left the Shekhinah left with him, and the Sanhedrin did not talk to him. So this is over. It seems to be Gilui Arayot. Because of the Gilui Arayot, David becomes Nitzara, that he was Zerat because of the incident with Bathsheba. And because of that, the Shekhinah doesn't speak to him or doesn't communicate with him, and the Sanhedrin leaves a Nitzara dichtiv, because he says in Tehillim, Techat Eini Be'ezov Ve'etar. Cleanse me with the Ezov. Who gets cleansed with an Ezov? Who would use the Ezov to sprinkle on the Mitzorah? V'etar, and then I'll be cleansed. Techapseini umishelag albin. Right, cleanse me, and I will be more white than snow, which seems to be almost the antithesis of what we're trying to hear. Here he has Zerat, which is Zerat kishalig, that is as white as shalig, and over here he's saying, cleanse me to be as white as, right, as white as the snow. But, right, because Pshat in the Pasuk is, Umi Shelig Albin, that I'll be more white, I'll be as white as the snow. But the drush is, Umi Shelig, from Shelig, which is Mitzorat, Albin, I'll be cleansed. Okay. Okay, so Nistaka Amen Shechina, what does it mean that the Shechina was removed to him? Dichtiv, or how do we know that? Dichtiv, Ashiva Li Sason Nishecha, right, return to me, right, the Sason, the pleasure of your company. Barach Nidiva Tismecheni. And then your generous spirit, right, should uphold me. Pershu mimenu Sanhedrin, now we know that Sanhedrin left him. Dichtiv, yeshuv li yireyecha. They should return to me, those that fear you. Who's that? That's the Sanhedrin. Shishah chadushim inalan. How do we know that was for 6 months? Dichtiv, v'yamim asher malach David al Yisrael arba'im shana. The total rule or total reign of David is 40 years. V'charon malach sheva shanim, u'shalai malach chloshim u'shalosh shanim. Did 7 years in Hebron, which he was just the king over Yehuda. And then there were 33 years which he ruled over all of Klal Yisrael. Uchtiv, but it says earlier on in Shmuel, but in the beginning it says, v'chevron malach ha-Yehuda sheva shanim v'shishah chodashim. It says that he ruled over Hebron for 7 years and 6 months. So Hanashim Lokoshiv, he didn't mention those 6 months. Where did they go? Shwaminan it's Tara. They weren't counted towards his Malchut in 7.5 years. I mean, a lot of difficulties with this. One is that probably just a rounding. At 7.5 years and 30, probably it's 32.5, and then it rounds out to 40. That's one. Number two is that they're claiming it's from the 7.5 years that he was in Hebron. David's sin with Bathsheba is not when he's in Hebron. It's already when he's already in the 33-year period, not in the 7.5 period. Nevertheless, the Gemara sees it as a remez to the fact that there was 7.5 and 33, yet it's only enumerated as 40 years, that there were 6 months when David was the king, but not classified as the king. So what's that? That's that period when he was Nitzara because of the Yisurim that is Mekabel because of the sin of Bathsheba. So he says, okay, forgive me for the sin. So at this point he says, Macholucha, you're forgiven. So I say me out the tova, virusonai, viyavoshu, kiata shem azartani vinichamtani. Make for me a sign that my enemies will see, they'll be embarrassed, that Hashem helped me, right? Vinichamtani, and things will be comforted, everything will be okay. Amalei bechayecha eni modia. Says in your lifetime I will not do it. Avani modia ya bechayei Shlomo bincha. I will tell you about this, or it will become obvious. Right, in the time of Shlomo, your son, which is the Gemara that's found in Bamei Madikim, B'shah, Shubana Shlomo Beit HaMikdash, B'kesh Lachnis Aron Beit Kodesh HaKadoshim, Kodesh HaKadoshim, Wandering the Aron to Kodesh HaKadoshim, Tavku Sharim Zebezeh. The gates laid sealed and would not let him in. Amar Esrim V'arba Renonot, V'lo Ne'eneh. He says 24, right, tefillot, or songs before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'lo Ne'eneh, he's not answered. Amar Su Sharim Rashaychem Inaschu Pitchei Olam. Let the gates open, right? V'inasu, open up or raise the gates. V'inasu, pitchei olam, and they should give right honor, they should give right to those that are coming through the great doorway. V'yavo melech ha-kavod, and the great king should come. So now, over here, the Gemara is discussing it over there. What does that mean, melech ha-kavod? The gates thought they were talking about Shlomo, he was talking about himself. V'yavo melech ha-kavod. So they say, mizeh melech ha-kavod? Who's the Melech HaKavod that you're talking about? So he says, Hashem Yizuz V'gibor. Hashem Gibor Melchama. Talking about Hashem. Benemar, he says again, Su Sharim HaShechem Usuf Itchei Olam V'yavo Melech HaKavod. Again, yes. V'lo Ne'eneh. Again, same thing. Mizeh Melech HaKavod. Hashem Utzvakot Utzvela. So again, he answers Hashem, but the Sharim don't move. So then he says, Kevin Shamar reaches, this is like a summarized version of the version of the other Gemaras, right? The Bikitzur, so he says, Nemar Hashem Elokim, out the shape of Shechecha, Zachro Lechaste David Avdecha. Says, don't turn your face away from those, the chosen one, meaning the king, the anointed one. Remember the Chasdei David Avdecha, right? The Chasadim of David Avdecha. But my father, David, that it should come, Miyad Ne'ane. At that point he was answered, Votoshan Nepchu Pnei Sonei David Kishuleg Teira. The faces of those that had hated David or his enemies turned like the bottom of a pot, black as the bottom of a pot. I mean, they realized that David was forgiven and that they didn't have all that they had done wrong to David because they thought he was dismissed as the king, they were going to be punished for. That Hashem forgave them for that sin. Now, Gehazi, now we're moving on to the next one. We just did Bil'am. These are the people who don't get Olam Abad. Gehazi is the next one that doesn't get Olam Abad. Dichtiv. So Elisha went up to Damascus. Leichan Azal. Why is he going up to Damascus? Samar Rabbi Yochanan Shalach Lagzir Gehazi B'tshuva. He went to bring Gehazi back in Tshuva, but lo chazar, he didn't come back at that point. Amalo chazor b'cha, says do Tshuva. Amalo kach mikumulani mimcha, this is what I heard from you, achute amachti et harabim in maspikim ledo laso Tshuva. Anybody who's a sinner and causes others' chin, it's the sin, he can't do Tshuva. So my Ovid, what did he do? What did Gehazi do that he couldn't get forgiveness from? He put a magnet above the agalim of Yeravam that caused them to be suspended in the air. So people thought that they were real because they were suspended in the air because of this magnet. That he carved the Shem Hashem into the mouth of the agalim. And he used to say, when you came here, it's almost like a irony. Right, that's the two dibrot that the Egel said were the two dibrot that were basically said that you couldn't have these agalim, right? The two that are coming out. So Ikedamri Rabbanon Docha Mikamei. I always say that he pushed the Rabbanon away from Elisha. Because it says by Elisha, Vayomru Bnei Anivim, the Bnei Anivim said to Elisha, Inei Naam Akoma Sher Nachnu Shim Sham Lefenecha Tzar Mimenu. That the place they were sitting in front of you now was very narrow. We don't have enough space for all the Nivim. Michal Da'ad Ashta Lo Abetzar. Until this point, it wasn't tight. Why all of a sudden were the quarters tight? Because once Elisha was out of the, once Gehazi was out of the picture, all the Rabbanan started coming. Before this, Elisha used to block them from coming, so there was always room. Now all of a sudden he's gone, right? The guard's gone, so everybody's coming in, and now there's no more room for everybody. Turn Rabbanan. You should use the small, the left, to push away, and the right to be mekarevet. Look, Elisha should achvod Gehazi b'shtei yadayim. Now Elisha pushed Gehazi away with two hands. It's clear here that the Gemara uses small and yamin. Yamin is the stronger arm always, and the small is the weaker arm. So when we talk about the relationship, it says yamin mekarevet, is the right, the stronger arm should be the one that brings close, and the dochefet, the one that pushes away, is the small, is the weaker arm. In that even when it comes to pushing away and giving chastising or making sure a person understands the limits, even in that case, it's the Amin Makarevet, the right, the stronger arm still has to be the Makarevet. There has to be more love than a Dechia, than a dismissal and a chastisement. Gehazi Dechtiv, how do we know this? Vayomer Naaman. So what happened with Gehazi? It says, Vayomer Naaman, Hoel V'kach Kikarayim. V'yifratz bo v'yitzar Kikarayim Kesef. So here, this is as though the pasuk by Elisha. Elisha cures, we're going to see in a second, cures Naaman from his tzarat, and he wants to pay him for it. And Elisha refuses to take payment from Naaman. Why? Because what's the difference between payment and non-payment? This is true everywhere, by the way. It's true in any situation. If a person happens all the time now in crime, there's a crime where someone is murdered, chas v'shalom. Now, what do? They look if he has a wallet or doesn't have his wallet on him. If he has his wallet on him, what do they say? If he doesn't have his wallet, they say the crime was theft or something, and they had some altercation, and they took the wallet and killed him. So they were after the wallet. It was a case of theft or some sort of criminal activity. If the wallet is still there and the person's killed, what do we say? We say, oh wait, it wasn't. There must have been. It's a crime. Either it's a crime that is involved with a hit crime, or it's a revenge crime, or it's a crime of terrorism. Meaning that the fact that the wallet is still there is an indication of the fact that the murder was not done for the money, it was done for a specific purpose or a specific intent. The crime was intentional to just make a statement. So if that's the case, so do over here. But any time that there is a war, in a case where there's a war, and afterwards do you plunder the city or don't plunder the city? If you plunder the city and you take the shalal, right, that's an indication. People could say, what was the war for? The war was for us to get the spoils of the war. If you go and conquer the city and then leave all the shalal, you leave all the plunder afterwards, it's an indication that the battle was done for either a moral statement, it was done for religious reasons, and that the war is not about the money or the shalal, it's about the battle itself. So it's over here. When Naaman is cured from tzaraat, if Elisha takes money or payment for it, what is that? That diminishes the Kiddush Hashem. Then what is it? Just say, Naaman, you pay for it, and you get cured. But if he doesn't take money, that shows how much tremendous Kiddush Hashem it is that Naaman is cured, and he knows that it's Hashem that did it, because Elisha's not willing to take money. There's nothing to do with payment over here. So that's what I think over here. So what does he do? He says he refuses to take money. But then Gehazi goes, chases after him, and takes the money. So Gehazi does something which is a tremendous Chilul Hashem. So Yomer, I love Elisha. So Gehazi returns. He left Elisha and he came back. He says, "Ma'ayin Gehazi, where are you coming from, Gehazi?" I went nowhere. I've been here the whole time. So Yomer, love, lowly be halach. He goes, my heart is not deceiving me. Kasher afach ish mal merkavto likratecha. When somebody jumped off their chariot to greet you, which is referring to Naaman, that Gehazi chased down Naaman. And when he jumps off the chariot, I ate lakachat et hakesef, when he took the money, lakachat bigadim, and he took the clothing, v'zeitim u'kramim, you took olives and vineyards and grapes, v'tzonu bakar, v'adim u'shvachot, took all these items. Mar says, v'mishakel kuli hai. Did he really take so much? All it says in the pasuk is that he took kesef bugadim hu tishakal. He took money, he took clothing, he didn't take all the other things that Elisha listed. How come Elisha's listing all these eight things when he took kesef bugadim? So this is what we're talking about, that Elisha was docheo to b'shtei yadayim, that he pushed away with two hands, because he lists all these things that Gehazi didn't even take. I mean, he's really holding him accountable for things that he didn't even do. So here they're going to say, no, it's not literally that he took these eight items, but rather it's a remes. They were osek. At this time they were learning. Elisha was teaching Shmona Shvatzim. There was this Jishtabai Miaradi, so there was this Jewish young lady that was captured. There was a captive that was up by him. Yazal the Gabi Elisha Masilach. If you go to Elisha, he will cure you. So he came there. I'm like, Zil, Tvobi Yardain, go dip in the Yardain. I'm like, Achuke, come, Chaykbi, you're laughing at me? In the Psukim, it says, basically, look, we have plenty of waters up in the north, in Damascus and in Aram. We have better rivers than you have down here. I've dipped in all those rivers, done nothing for me. What are you going to go in the Yardain? So I'm like, Hanu Dabu Bade, his entourage that's with him says, My Naftal Amino, Zilnasi. Right, what's the difference? You're not cured now. You're not going to, oh, try it out. What's the downside of trying it out? Also, with Tabo Bayar, you know, he went and did it. Itzi, and he was cured. Ata etile kohani. So he came back to give him all these gifts. Then akit. Lotzavi likbule mine. He refused to accept it from him, Elisha. Gehazi, iftar mikame. Gehazi sneaks out. Elisha, also, mikame, Elisha from before. He said, also shaka. My the shaka. He took what he took. Avafkid. And then he put it away. He hid it away. Kiata chazi Elisha. The tzaraat avi parche eloi. When he came back, Elisha saw that the tzaraat started to break out on his forehead. Amalei Rasha. Yigia eit litol schar shmona shvatzim. Came the time now to take your reward for the shmona tzarim, for the Torah you learned. The tzaraat naman tibak b'chav zarachad olam. The tzaraat of naman will stick with you and your children forever. Yitzim lefanam mitzorah kashalik. Goes out and from in front of him is white as a mitzorah. So the idea that why did Elisha list these eight things that he took? Not that he literally took the eight things, but he was referring or referencing a remez to the Shmona Shvatzim that they were learning. You now just took the reward for your Torah of learning Shmona Shvatzim. Those items that you took are the reward for your learning of Shmona Shvatzim, and therefore you will not get Olam Haba. All your rewards are going to come in this world, and that's what you took from Naaman.
So we actually read, this is the Haftorah that we read for Parshat Mitzorah. And on that, Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, ze Gehazi u'shloshet banav. This is Gehazi and his three children. So the reflection here by Rabbi Yochanan is that the parsha of Elisha that is a little bit before this, a couple of prakim before, that discusses about Elisha saying to Gehazi that he's going to have tzarat and he's be with him and his family forever. Rabbi Yochanan says that these subsequent psukim, which are somewhat ambiguous about what king it's speaking about and when they transpire, Rabbi Yochanan says that's Gehazi and his three children. They're the ones who are sitting outside the gate of the city because they are mitzoraim.
Now, as you can see, there's a big gap at the bottom of the Gemara over here. It shows you a good indication that the censor got to this Gemara. And there's actually a piece of Gemara here that's missing that you can find. It's in Ktiv Yad Benetzia and others that have it. It printed out from Hebrew books. It's nice enough to have. They have the Moznaim Shas there that actually has the censored Gemara in it. So I'll just read through the censored Gemara. It's not so clear to me. The next Gemara flows pretty easily from this Gemara. And even the piece that's in there, you can see the connection to it, but it doesn't seem as easy to flow. And other times you see that there's a non sequitur in the Gemara that indicates that there was something missing. Over here, it's not as clear to me that there's a non sequitur. The Gemara flows fine without this. And even this story, you'll see, it fits generally to the sugyo, or to the topically it fits, but I don't know if it was so compelling. But here you go. Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya, my havel. What's the case of Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya? Yanai Malko, Yanai killed out, he's one of the Chashmonaim kings, he killed out all the Rabbanan. He got into a, they had some questions about his lineage, and when they got questions about his lineage, he went out, they made a suggestion that he should kill all the Rabbanan. So Azal Rabbi Shua ben Prachya v'Yeshu l'Alexandria shel Mitzrayim. Shua ben Prachya and Yeshu, it would be referring to Jesus probably in this case, went down south to Mitzrayim to escape from Yanai Melech. One of the Rabbanan was kept there, which was Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach is the brother-in-law of Yanai. His sister was married to the king, and his sister hides him in order to protect him from being killed by the Yanai Melech. Marim Brochos, other places, talks about the fact that Yanai wanted a Rabbanan to come and paskin for him, and his wife makes him promise that only if he won't kill him. So she brings out Shimon ben Shetach. So Shimon ben Shetach is the only one that's left. So then he sends to him. So Shimon ben Shetach talks about it. If you have a Shalma, when things quieted down, Sholachle Shimon ben Shetach mine Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, sent from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, Lechi Alexandria, right to you in Alexandria, Amar Kama Yafeh Aksan Yazu. So, you are down there sitting and everything's good, and I'm over here with destruction. Come back. So you come back to me. He wants to. Rabbi Shetach is basically saying, I'm all alone up here in all this desolation in Yerushalayim, and you're in this wonderful Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. Please come back to me. So come ato. So they come back. Him. So this him meaning that this is Rabbi Shua ben Prachya and Yeshu that are along with them. They're traveling back. Yitramile Hawish Pisa. They ended up staying at some bed and breakfast along the way. So Abel Yikara Tuva. So she was very generous to them. She was took care of them. So Amar Kama Yafach San Yazu. So Rabbi Shua ben Prachya says, compliments the woman right of the house, the Balat Abayit, who's taking care of them. How wonderful is this bed and breakfast? Samarlay Rabbi Eineha Trutot. So then Yeshu, his student, says back to Rabbi Shua ben Prachya, her eyes are, whatever they are, it's crooked, rounded, they're just, what do you mean, how nice is this woman? She's ugly, she has funky eyes, she doesn't look pretty. Amarlay Rasha, Bakacha Tao Seik? Says, Rasha, this is what you're talking about? This is what you're thinking about? Afik Arba Mea Shipure, took out 400 shofarot, Veshamte, and he put him into Nidu, he excommunicated him. I see. I don't know if it was literal, but rather he excommunicated him. He says, you're looking at the wrong things. You're all mixed up. So over here, first of all, it indicates that Yeshu was a Tano at the time of Tanoim. He was a student of Rabbi Shua ben Prachya. And they put him into excommunications. Atal kame zimnen. He came to Rabbi Shua ben Prachya many times. So Amalei Kabbalon says, accept me. Lo b'kamash kochbe. He refused to accept him back. He wanted to do tshuva. He refused to accept him. So yom achad avakari kriyat shema. So one day, Rabbi Shua ben Prachya was saying Kriyat Shema, Ata Lekamei, came before him to ask again for forgiveness, Sarah Lekibule. At this point, he said, I'm going to accept him. Achalei Biyadei, he hinted with his hand, Kab Gun. Avasarah Mitcha Dochile, he thought he was telling him to go away instead of come close. There, he got the hand signals mixed up. Azal Zakaf Levinta, he went and stood up a brick, Vishtachavela, and bowed down to the brick. I mean, it sounds like he left the fold, he went off to Derech. So Rabbi Shua ben Prachya came afterwards to him and said, come on, come back, do tshuva. So anybody who sins and causes others to sin, it doesn't have the ability again to do tshuva. So this is, again, the indication, this is how it fits into the Gemara, the same thing that Elisha, it's the same statement that Gehazi makes to Elisha, that is that if someone who sins and is machtir to Rabbim, there's no way to do tshuva. It's an indication in the Gemara here, I don't know, the shtech of the Evan, whatever that is, the indication is that he went off the derech, and then he created whatever it is, he caused religion or people to follow him, and by doing that, he was machtir to Rabbim. So when Yeshua Barakhir comes back and says, come back to me, says, can't, no chance. Now the Gemara has an additional statement here. Amar Mar Yeshua Notri Kishef Veisit Veidiach Et Yisrael. So Yeshua Notri left them Kishef from Kishuf, led them down the path of sorcery. Veisit, he caused them to leave Veidiach Et Yisrael. He took them off the path of, right, of the proper path. I guess that's the conclusion for the fact that he was Machti at the Rabbi. It must be that he took many off the path of the way. So again, the reflection here about whether, you know, how much of this is true that he was a student of Rabbi Shimon ben Parachya, very possible. He did live around the time of, right, Churban Abayit, the time of the Tanaim, about his ability, or whether this is a reflection, again, of the Amoraim, who are, when they're writing the Gemara, there's a reflection on the church rather than on the person himself of Jesus. And again, we talked about this many times, it might be a more likely scenario that they weren't necessarily addressing or speaking about him specifically, but it was their reaction to the church who was persecuting the Jews heavily at that time, that they, in order to be bogeya or to talk about the church in a negative way, you talk about the founder of the religion. Then by the founder of religion, they cast aspersions, right, on the religion itself and the questionable, the origins of the religion, because the religion is doing things that are very bad or awful or evil at this point in time. Anyway, this is the censored Gemara. You can obviously understand why it was censored out, right? And this time also, it's interesting, there's no Rashi that was censored out. It was only the Gemara itself that was censored out. I suppose the earlier Gemara is where there was also a Rashi. I don't know if Rashi had this or was censored out earlier. It's an interesting question. Right now, the Gemara continues with the Gemara that you have. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Yetzer, Tinok, Visha, Tehei, Smol, Docha, Yamin, Mekarevet. When it comes to these three individuals, children, women, right? It should be, and the Yetzer, the person should be Doche, we say with the left, and Yamin Mikarevet. Okay, because they're more fragile, and therefore you have to be careful on how you push them away. You have to be careful how you deal with them because of the fragility. Elisha was sick three times. One time because he got mad at the children in Yericho who were calling him Baldy, and therefore he caused the bears to come and eat them up. So there, he got sick for that, he was punished for that. One is because he pushed away Gehazi in too strong a manner. And the last sickness is the one that he died by. That the one he died in the sickness that he got the sickness that he died by. Ad Abraham, this is a Gemara that we also have seen before. Ad Abraham lo ya zikna. Until the time of Abraham, there was no, people did not age. Since Yitzchak looked exactly like Abraham, then nobody could tell the difference between Yitzchak and Abraham. They looked the same. They were the same age. They were both youthful, and therefore nobody could tell the difference between them. So called the Chazi Yitzchak, hi Abraham, boy Abraham, rachmeid lavilei zikna. Abraham davened that people should get old, they should age, in order that there should be a difference between the child and the father. Shneimar Abraham zakein baba yamim ad Yaakov la bechusha ba lebo. So there, until the time of Yaakov, there was no sickness. People did not get sick and then die. So Barachme by Mechusha, yes, Barachme, that people should get sick first and then die. And the people die instantaneously. Problem is that nobody can be prepared for that. Both the psychological, emotional side, that person wouldn't be, people wouldn't be prepared that someone may pass away. Number two is the person couldn't give a tzavah to his family because he knew he was going to die. And so there was no indications that a person might die. So Yaakov asked for Rachman that there should be the case. Remember, by Yom Yosef, Yinei Avicha Chole, that your father is sick. I mean, that your father is now sick, indicating that he's going to reach the mitah. That was the indication that Yaakov had davened that he should have some siman that he was going to pass away. Ad Elisha lo ava inish chalish demitpach. Till the time of Elisha, nobody got sick and was cured. Why? Because Vat Elisha by Rachman, Elisha asked for Rachman and was cured. Why? Because it says Vidpach Shanamar Elisha Khalat Khayo Sher Yamut Bo. He got sick in the sickness that he was gonna die by. So now, what's that mean? That means that there was another choli that he wouldn't be Yamutbo, or it means that the choli Asher Yamutbo was meant that he died now the sickness that, but it means he had other sicknesses. So either way, the idea is that there was, normally people got sick and they died. But here Elisha died, yes, he had a sickness that he died by, but he also had other sicknesses which he had recovered from. So he was the first one to recover from sickness. I mean, that Yaakov asked Rachman that a person get sick and weak before they die. That was the only time they got sick. The people got sick, they died, because that was exactly what sickness was for. Elisha has a new indication that you can be sick and yet you can survive. That means that that wasn't necessarily an indication that you were going to die at that point in time. Just because you were sick didn't mean that the result or the end game would be that you died. Okay, we'll stop over here because the next Mishnah continues into tomorrow's daf, and it'll be the introduction of tomorrow's daf, so we'll stop over here.